And so Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 through 7, here's what it says. For a child will be born for us. Somebody say for us. And a son will be given to us. And the government be on his shoulders. He will be named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. The dominion will be vast. And his prosperity will never end. He will reign on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish and sustain it with justice and righteousness from now on and forever. The zeal of the Lord of armies will accomplish this. I want to go back to verse 6. He will be named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. So today, as we kick off this brand new sermon series, All I Need for Christmas, I want to preach how God wants to give us the gift of peace. The gift of peace. How many of y'all, by show of hands, need some peace right now? Tell the person beside you, you need some peace. You need some peace. Tell the other person that was your second option, I need some peace too. I need some peace. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your grace and mercy, for who you are, for all you've done. Thank you, God, for your presence, for the beautiful opportunity that you've given us to worship you in spirit and in truth. I pray that you will grant us clarity, understanding, wisdom, and knowledge as we hear your word. Let us not just be hearers of your word, but doers of it as well. In Jesus' name, and every person said amen. Amen. As you go on to your seat, can you bless God for our worship team, for leading us in worship? Come on. Come on, we can do better than that. Can we bless God for all of our team who are serving, kids, production, sound, greeting, welcome team. Come on, y'all make some noise. Yeah. Teamwork makes the dream work. So grateful for all of you all who are watching and worshiping online. Let us know where you're watching and worshiping from so we can celebrate with you the gift of peace. Recently, there was this study that was done that came out that said that 54% of millennials, and millennials are those ages 25 to 40 at the time of this message, I gotta say, because somebody might listen to this 5 years from now and be out of that. But those between the ages of 25 to 40, 54% of them admitted to feeling anxious, depressed, and fear over the past year. 41%, they say, of adults are struggling with mental health or substance abuse. And in case you don't think that's important, studies have also shown that that is an increase of 20% compared to what it was pre-COVID. So in other words, since the pandemic has taken place, and by the way, we are still in this thing. I don't want y'all to think that because things are moving around that people are not still getting sick. People are still dying. We had a very good, close friend of ours whose parent recently passed away because of COVID. Been in the hospital since November, didn't see them for Thanksgiving. So in case we think that we are out of this season as of December the 5th, 2021, we are still in this thing. And it's still impacting people. But not only that, there's so many other things that are impacting many of us that are impacting our minds. And if there's one thing that these statistics reveal, is that many of our lives are filled with anxiousness. There's much consuming our minds. We're worried about the outcomes of situations, worried about our finances and anxious about that, concerned about people's opinions about us, concerned about how many people are following us on social media. It's like our minds are just filled and burdened with so much right now in life. How many of you guys are in here today and you can honestly say, Pastor, if you wouldn't mind raising your hand, if you could be honest, how many of y'all can be honest and say, Pastor, I am dealing with some stuff right now? Just by show of hands. I got some stuff that's weighing on my mind. I got some stuff that's weighing on my soul. Come on, online, I want you to drop it in the chat. I got some stuff that's weighing on my spirit right now. I haven't been able to get a good night of sleep, and it's consuming me, and it's afflicting me. And when I think about what we're experiencing, it connects in many ways to what we see happening here in Isaiah chapter 9. Because here in this passage in Isaiah chapter 9 is this interesting passage that, as we see in these next few verses, 6 through 7, that what happens here has implications not just for that present day, but more specifically for years to come. But to really appreciate Isaiah chapter 9, You got to go back to the previous chapters, chapter 8, chapter 7. Because the context is that these enemy countries and armies were encroaching on God's people. A man by the name of King Ahaz is approached by God's prophet Isaiah, God's prophet that God would send to speak words of encouragement, rebuke, correction to the people, specifically in the Old Testament. And Isaiah tells King Ahaz that God will deliver them from what they're experiencing. He tells King Ahaz pretty plainly, just trust God. Trust God and trust that he will do what he said he would do. Trust that God will show up when you need him to show up the most. But what does King Ahaz do? He doesn't trust God. Instead, he takes matters into his own hands by trusting other sources. King Ahaz decides to trust in himself and others rather than trust in God, and it led to disaster for himself, but it also led to disaster for the people he was leading, which teaches us a major principle that I do not want us to gloss over in this moment. Whenever we trust in our own strength and in our own ability rather than trusting in the ability of God, it will always lead to disaster. It's always going to lead to destruction. Whenever we place more faith in our hands than in the hands and ability of God, it will always lead to a collapse. And the Bible says specifically that the people now find themselves in a place of darkness. Because whenever we go against God, it always leads to darkness. Now, in the scripture, darkness in the Bible is synonymous with many things, but most importantly, it's synonymous with sin, separation from God, or bondage, or brokenness, or difficulty. And so the people, led by King Ahaz, found themselves in a time of darkness because they did not trust God. And when I think about that, I think about the context and time that we live in. Because I think just as the people found themselves in living in a time of darkness in their day and time, we too can find ourselves experiencing the same. I think if we can just look at the news for a few moments and get Apple News to our phone, we get a notification day after day. I think if we would just take a moment and pause, we can see that we live in a time of darkness. When there's shootings in schools that are happening all around the country, when there's difficulties in families that are happening, when there's stress that's happening, when there's backbiting that's happening, when there's broken relationships that's happening, when there's racism and human trafficking that's happening, it reveals the depth of darkness around us. It reveals that something is needed to push back against the darkness. When we look around us, it's darkness all around. But if we could be honest, we also can find ourselves experiencing darkness in our lives because of our own doing. So there is some darkness that happens around us that's out of our control. But then there's darkness that we walk through that we created ourselves. There's some darkness that we end up experiencing that's the result of our decisions. And some of us are going through dark moments right now. Some of them are out of your control. But if we could be honest, there are some things that we're walking around with right now that are self-inflicted. Come on, can we be real? Can we stop blaming the devil for every bad thing that happens? No, it was not the devil. It was poor decisions. Come on, it wasn't the devil who made you do it. It was the decision that you and I made. Like, we chose to disobey God. Some of us are in a dysfunctional relationship that God never told you to get into. And now you're filled with anxiety and stress. Some things are out of your control. You've been faithful on your job and still got let go. You show love to that person, but they still talk about you. You deal with loss of a relationship or a loved one out of your control. But let's be real, there are moments in our life that we find ourselves walking through dark valleys that we chose to go down. All of us will find ourselves going through these dark moments in our lives. And all throughout scripture, many people find themselves going through dark moments. Even the most faithful people find themselves going through some of the most dark moments. But in spite of us feeling like we're in a place of darkness and not able to see our way through, I love the fact that in the midst of our darkness, God gives us a promise. aren't you glad to know that God does not just leave you in the dark? I want y'all to know that there's been some things that you got yourself into that God got you out of. Oh, come on. Come on, I need us, come on. I need us to be honest. There were some things that you got yourself into. And if had it not been for the grace of God, you and I would not have got out of it. There's many times in my life where I can look back and say, I had no reason to get up out of that thing other than God stepping in the nick of times. Because he showed up. And in spite of what the people found themselves experiencing here in Isaiah chapter 9, God made a promise to them. And here's what he says in verses 1 through 5 before verses 6 through 7. He says, nevertheless, the gloom of the distressed land will not be like that of the former times when he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will bring honor to the way of the sea, to the land east of the Jordan, and to Galilee of the nations. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. A light has dawned on those living in the land of darkness, which is good news because it means if you're in a place of darkness, God has light for it. You have enlarged the nation and increased its joy. The people have rejoiced before you, and as they rejoice at harvest time, and as they rejoice when dividing spoils, for you have shattered their oppressive yoke and the rod on their shoulders, the staff of their oppressor, just as you did on the day of Midian. For every trampling boot of battle and the bloody garments of war will be burned as fuel for the fire. For a child will be born for us. I want you to stop right there before we get to verse 6 and look at what's happening in verses 1 through 5. Isaiah, coming from God, is prophesying this word from God and says, hey, I know you're walking through some darkness, but God has some good news. He's making a promise to get you out of it. I know you're going through a heavy moment right now in your life, but the good news of God is that God sent this prophet by the name of Isaiah to declare a word of encouragement to the people of God, to let them know it does not matter how dark it is right now, God has something to light up the darkness. And now in verses 6 through 7, Isaiah gives this prophecy to the people, speaking of the eventual arrival of this person who is named Wonderful Counselor, Everlasting Father. But then he says, Mighty God, which now speaks to the fact that this can't be just an earthly king. This got to be somebody different. Because you don't call somebody of earth God. You only call God, God. And so when Isaiah is prophesying, he's giving them a picture of this promise that God had established way back in eternity past of the sending of his son Jesus, the Son of God, who here is given many different names, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, but this is the one I want to focus on for the next few minutes, Prince of Peace. Everybody say peace. Prince of Peace. And out of all these majestic names to describe Jesus, the one that sticks out for us today is peace. Which means this, it teaches us that if he is the Prince of Peace, that means that he is the source of peace. Peace comes from him. What does this word peace mean in the original Hebrew of the Old Testament? It is the Hebrew word shalom. It means to be whole. It means to be intact. It means wholeness. And I love that because we oftentimes think that peace is the absence of problems. But peace is actually the presence of God. Peace does not equate to the absence of problems. Peace equates to the presence of God, which means this. I could have all types of stuff happening on the outside of me, but if I know the Prince of Peace, I could have a stillness and a tranquility and a wholeness and a calmness on the inside of me when everything around me is out of control. Let me help you understand some family. Peace isn't found in a place, it's found in a person, and that person's name is Jesus. Have y'all ever thought and maybe confused peace with sleep, where you said, or maybe even rest with sleep, where you said, I need to get some rest, and you thought that 8 hours would help you, but then you woke up and you felt just as tired, if not more? Because there's a difference between sleep and rest. Rest, sleep is something that you can give yourself. Rest or peace is something only God can give you. You can't get rest just by going on vacation. You don't get rest just simply by taking a week off from work. All that's good, but that does not give you what you need at the core of your soul. Only God can do that. I like what Pastor Tony Evans says. He says this: peace is not even the absence of fear. It is the presence of God. And if you don't understand where peace comes from, you'll go looking for it in the wrong places and from the wrong people. So you think that getting peace is by going to the club and getting quiet now, twerking on somebody or having somebody twerk on you. Some of y'all are like, I did not expect to come to church today and hear the word twerk. But peace isn't found in common places of this world. Peace isn't found by having more money. Peace isn't found by getting a better paying job. Peace isn't found by getting a bigger house. Matter of fact, Biggie Smalls, the prophet known as Biggie Smalls, said more money, more problems. He's prophetic. Because y'all can say amen to that. Some of y'all are like, since I got out more money, it's been a little hectic around here. Peace doesn't come by having more social media followers. Peace doesn't come by having kids. Peace doesn't come by being married. Peace is found in the Prince of Peace. And as we see later on in Scripture, this Prince of Peace is Jesus. He is the source. He is the first and the last when it comes to peace. Peace originates with him. Peace begins with him. He is peace. Peace isn't found in any other person. Peace isn't found in a substance. Peace isn't found in a bottle. Peace is found in a person, and his name is Jesus. That's where peace is found. He is the source of peace. And when you don't have the presence of God in your life, there won't be peace in life. I'll say it like this. I want you to write it down. Where the presence of God is absent, the peace of God is as well. Where the presence of God is absent, so is the peace of God. So if God isn't present in my life, well, let me say it like this. If I have not submitted all areas of my life to God, I cannot be surprised if I'm not experiencing the peace of God in all areas of my life. So I want you to look at the areas where you're most stressed. Let me ask you a question. Have you invited the presence of God into that space? And don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not saying that by inviting the presence of God into that space that all of a sudden it's going to change in the way that you want it to change. What I'm saying is when you invite the presence of God into those spaces in your life that are consuming your thoughts, that are consuming your heart, what happens is now the peace of God comes with him. Because whatever God comes with, whatever God does, and whenever God is present, he brings with whatever it is that he owns and whatever it is that he has possession over, he brings his whole fullness of who he is. So if God is present there, peace is coming, joy is coming, love is coming, self-control is coming, prosperity is coming. But if I don't have the presence of God, or let me say it like this, if I'm not submitting areas of my life to the presence of God, I can't expect to experience the peace of God. So maybe the reason why I'm having some major issues in my marriage is because I have not submitted my marriage to the presence of God. Maybe part of the reason why I'm not getting clarity when it comes to my career is because I'm not submitting my career path to the presence of God. Maybe part of the reason why I'm confused about what my identity is because I have not submitted my life to the presence of God. Where there is no presence, there will be no peace. And peace is found where God's presence is. And the good news of God is that God offers his peace by sending his son Jesus. I asked you a question earlier in the beginning of the sermon. How many of us in here are stressed, you're worried, you're filled with anxiety, you're going through a whole lot? I think many of us are carrying a whole lot in this season. I know we've carried a whole lot in this season. There's times where you just get stressed, and there's times where it just feels like you can't think straight. It feels like you're walking through the fog. How many of you guys have felt like that over the past 2 years? It feels like you're just walking through the fog. It's like you can't see that far ahead. And so one of the things that you got to do when you're going through fog, as you know, safety says you got to drive and move slower. Because if you get ahead, you can end up leading yourself to a catastrophe. And maybe what God wants to teach us in this season is slow down. That's what this Advent season is all about. It's about us slowing down. Because many of us as I like to say, are getting ahead of God because we won't slow down. And so we're missing the pace of God because we haven't submitted to the presence of God. And because we haven't submitted to the presence of God, we don't experience the peace of God. But God says this, hey, I love you so much, I'm not gonna leave you where you are. I'm gonna meet you where you are. I'll find you right where you are. I'll find you in the midst of the depression that you feel. I'll find you in the midst of the anxiousness that you feel, the worry that you're feeling, the distress that you're feeling. God sends Jesus, the Prince of Peace. He gives us this incredible gift because, you know, there's many things that'll be in one of these little gift bags and boxes and how many of y'all like to get gifts like this? You like the bag form, you know? How many of y'all like that? You like the bag? How many of y'all like the, you better wrap my gift, right? You like that. But God says, hey, listen, I've wrapped my peace in this beautiful wrapping paper called flesh in the form of my son, Jesus. And this gift is available for you. But you got to be willing to open it up. So the Bible says that God is the giver of every good and perfect gift. But I wonder how many of us are missing out on the peace of God simply because we won't go open the gift of God. But in spite of it, God says, I'm still going to offer you peace. And the one thing that this passage teaches us about his peace, when we look at verse 6, for a child will be born for us. Somebody say for us. A son will be given to us. Somebody say to us. I want you to notice the words there. For us, to us. For us, to us. Which teaches us something very important about the peace of God. I want you to write this down. That the peace of God is personal. It's personal. Which means that his peace isn't just some abstract concept. It's not just general. It serves a personal purpose. Can I ask you a question? What are you walking through right now in your life? That's hard. That's difficult. Because whatever it is that you're walking through that's hard and difficult right now, I want you to know that his peace is able to meet you right where you are, and it works no matter the situation that you find yourself up against. The person that you're sitting next to is probably carrying something maybe a little bit different than you. You're going through something maybe a little bit different than you, but here's what I want you to understand. The peace of God is able to be personalized based upon the person who's in the situation or the problem that they're in. God says, my peace is pliable. My peace is like Play-Doh. Y'all remember Play-Doh? Where you can maneuver it and you can form it and you can shape it to do whatever it is that God says, that's how my peace is. It doesn't matter the problem that you're facing. It doesn't matter the issue that you're experiencing. My peace is applicable and formidable for whatever it is that you're going through. It's moldable. This is what Isaiah chapter 26 verse 3 says. Some of us may know this scripture who maybe grown up in the church for a while. Says this, you will keep the mind that is dependent on you in perfect peace. Perfect. Somebody say perfect. Perfect. In other words, God's peace isn't just personal, but it's also perfect. I don't know about y'all. I need perfect peace in this season. I don't need imperfect peace. I need perfect peace. The peace of God is personal and available for every single person to access, and it doesn't matter your color, it doesn't matter your age, it doesn't matter your background, it doesn't matter your economic status. The peace of God is for all people online, in New York, in California, in New Mexico, in Florida. It is for you. His peace is personal. And it's perfect, and it doesn't matter what it is that you're experiencing, which means this, it doesn't matter how far you've gone, you can possess God's peace. He doesn't offer peace just to some, he offers it to all. Are you in a dark situation right now? Good news, you qualify for his peace. Do you wrestle with anxiety? Good news, you qualify for his peace. Do you battle with depression? Good news, you qualify for his peace. Do you battle with shame and guilt and condemnation? Good news, you qualify for God's peace. Are you worried about how something will work out? You qualify for God's peace. God is saying, I've got a gift called peace with your name on it. I'll tell you one thing, there's nothing like getting a gift during Christmas season and you see your name on it. I remember when I was a kid and I'd get gifts that were real big. Or matter of fact, like some of our family, we would always get together and, you know, in one of our family members' house, we'd get together for breakfast on Christmas and the whole room would just be filled with gifts. So when I was a kid, I was looking for the biggest gift. And one year, one of them big gifts was under the tree and I saw it with my name on it. Ran right over there and tore that thing to pieces, boy. I want you to understand, God has this gift of peace with your name on it. It's for you. And I want you to understand, God's not short on peace. So if he does it for you, he could do it for somebody else. Or maybe it's the reverse that you need to understand today. If he did it for them, he could do it for you too. Go walk in peace. But not only is his peace personal, it's also powerful. So when we look at verse 6, go back. It says, for a child will be born for us, a son will be given to us. It's personal. For us, to us. For us, to us. It's personal. And the government will be on his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. Notice what Isaiah says here. The government is on his shoulders. It's on whose shoulders? Jesus' shoulders. What does the text mean by government? It means that he rules over all things. It means he has the first and last word. It means that he has all power. Which means this. If Jesus is strong enough to rule over the whole cosmos, then it means he's able to keep you in perfect peace when everything is out of control. I thought some of us would say amen to that. It means that if Jesus can make sure the sun still works and the moon still works and this earth still works, if he can make sure that rain comes down and storms happen, if he can make sure that irrigation happens, if Jesus can make sure that all the things are happening the way that he's created them to happen, surely he can handle your situation too. I shared this with some of our group that we were teaching on Wednesday night. If God was faithful to get his son Jesus up out of the grave, what is a light bill to him? What is a mortgage payment to the God who paid our greatest debt in the form of our sin debt? If we can trust him for our salvation, surely we can trust him to provide a new job. If he was faithful and able to create everything without our help or our consultation, surely he can handle whatever it is that you and I are up against right now. Which means that his peace is powerful. Which also means that his peace sustains me when I'm going through difficult moments. Let me say it like this in case you're not getting this. Peace is experienced when we realize that the burden doesn't have to rest on our shoulders, but on his. Can I like enter into your life for a quick moment? You know the reason why some of you are so stressed and can't get sleep is because you are carrying something that was never meant for you to carry. The reason why you can't think straight, I can say this because I've experienced this. The reason why your soul is so jumpy, you're so jittery, the reason why you can't sit still, the reason why you move, I like to say it like this, the reason why you have not a non-anxious presence about you, but an anxious presence about you, is because you are carrying things that you were never meant to carry. And your back is breaking under the pressure of burdens that were meant to be on the back of Jesus. Jesus is saying, my peace is powerful. The burden doesn't have to rest on your shoulders. I got wide shoulders that can carry whatever problem that you're dealing with. I got broad shoulders that can carry whatever sickness that you're facing. I got big shoulders that can carry whatever need that you may have in your life. I got enough width and breadth on my back to carry your stuff and the person next to you and your family and the community and the whole world. I can carry it all. So can I give us a pastoral nudge? Stop carrying stuff that God never called you to carry. You are wearing yourself out, worried about this and worried about that. Can't sleep at night. Do you really think that's God's will for your life? The Bible says he neither sleeps nor slumbers. So why does it make sense for you to stay up worrying about it? Some of us haven't gotten a good night of sleep over the past 2 years, and I understand it because there's so much stuff that we can easily worry about. But Jesus says, would you just cast your cares on me because I care for you? Because when you give me your cares, I give you my peace. And I don't know about y'all, that's a great exchange. It's peace. Here's what Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says. Don't worry about anything. That word anything in the Greek, you know what it means? Anything. You know what it means in Hebrew? Anything. You know what it means in Aramaic? Anything. You know what it means in English? Anything. Don't worry about anything. But in everything, through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Watch this. And the what? Peace of God, which what? Surpasses all understanding. Well, what? Which means it's powerful. It will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. The reason why our minds are so flooded with so much anxiety is because you don't have a guard called peace guarding it. But Jesus says, the minute you give it over to me, my peace will guard your mind. It'll guard your heart. It'll guard your emotions. And God's peace is so powerful, y'all, that the Bible says it surpasses all understanding, which means it goes beyond logic. Some of you have been walking in this peace so much to the point where people around you are befuddled and confused. How are you not losing your mind when everything around you is falling apart? How have you not quit when everything has gotten so hard? How have you not given up when this happened and when that happened? How in the world are you able to persevere in the midst of all the problems, in the midst of all the trouble? And what you can say is, let me tell you about the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. It is guarding my mind, it is guarding my heart, it is guarding my emotions. It's the peace of God that got me through a pandemic. It's the peace of God that caused me to not go off on the deep end. It's the peace of God that secures me and guards me. You know, the only reason why we ain't lost our minds during the pandemic is because of God's peace. Because it's been powerful enough to keep us. Let me say it like this. The peace of God is greater than the problems of life. I need you to get this in your heart. Because if there's one thing I need you to get in this Christmas season, and if there's one gift that God wants to give you, he wants to give you this peace. That the peace of God is greater than the problems you face. But Pastor Edwin, you don't know what I'm up against. You're right, I don't, but God does. But yet he still says, my peace is sufficient. Pastor Edwin, you don't know what I'm dealing with. You don't know what this person's dealing with. You don't know all the cares that I have in my life. You're right, but I know the one who says cast all your cares on him because he cares for you. I want you to understand his peace is powerful. He is able to keep those in perfect peace, those whose minds are stayed on him. This is why it's important for you to log on and watch worship online and worship online. This is why it's important for us to gather here. But this is also why we have to, during the course of the week, make sure that we are in the Word, in prayer, doing spiritual disciplines to keep ourselves grounded in God. Yeah. Let me help you understand something. Hearing this preached Word is not good enough to get you through the rest of the week. You need to be meditating on it every single day. He keeps those in perfect peace whose minds are stayed on him. Which means the only time I should open up my Bible should not be on Sundays. You need it every day. Just like you need to eat every day. The Bible says man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Which means this, if the only time that you are feeding your soul is on Sunday, how does that work for your soul? Because I know how it will work for your physical life. If you only ate one meal a week, you will probably pass out. And some of us are exhausted right now because we have not gotten a good, balanced diet of getting in the Word and seeking him in prayer and in fasting and honoring God and receiving the Word and the bread of life. He says, you need it more than just today, y'all. I need it every day, multiple times during the day. So I start my day in the Word. go throughout my day in the Word, end my day in the Word. Do it all over again the next day. Start my day in the Word. Go throughout my day in the Word. End my day in the Word. And for some of us, you think the issue to your problems is money. It's not. It's the lack of cultivating the presence of God in your life through meditating on His Word. You expecting to be spiritually strong when you only feed on the Word of God one day a week or once a month or one time a year. And you're spiritually malnourished. So no wonder the enemy's having a field day with you, because spiritually you're weak right now. Your muscles is real flabby and you don't have any type of spiritual discipline. But if you get the Word of God on the inside of you and start building up your body, that's when you're able to stand against all the attacks of the enemy. Because you're rooted and grounded in His Word. So for some of us, the key to you experiencing peace is by getting in the Word. Oh, I know I'm meddling right now. And it ain't because you don't have time. The problem is you give your time to everything else. You spend time on social media. You spend time watching Netflix. Come on. You spend time at the gym. You spend time here. You spend time there. You got the same 24 hours that I got. You got the same 365 that I have. And the only thing that's the difference is doing it. So you got everything you need here to keep you in perfect peace. But you got to lean on it. Because here's what happens when the enemy comes chirping and tells you that you suck, that you're terrible, that you're a failure, you're a reject as a mom, you're a reject as a parent. If you don't have the Word of God on the inside of you, you have nothing to combat that. So now what happens is you begin to believe it. I am a reject. I am this. I am that. But when you got the Word of God on the inside of you, you say, no. I'm a child of God. I'm more than a conqueror. I'm this. I'm that. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, because you're fighting Him with the Word of God, and it's keeping you in perfect peace. Some of us, you need this. I'll keep those in perfect peace whose minds stayed on me. How do we keep our minds stayed on Him? By staying in the Word. By staying in the Word, because man doesn't live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. It's peace. Somebody say peace. His peace is powerful. But here's the last thing I want us to see about His peace here in this passage in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 7. When you go here, it says this, and I love this. This is probably like my favorite part about this scripture in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 7, because Isaiah doesn't just talk about the fact that He's the Prince of Peace and that it's personal and that it's powerful, but notice verse 7. The dominion will be vast, and its prosperity, that Hebrew word prosperity for prosperity is the same Hebrew word shalom that's for peace. In other words, His peace and His dominion will be vast. Watch this. And His peace or prosperity will never what? End. Which shows us something else about His peace. That it's not just personal, it's not just powerful, but it's perpetual. It never stops. It never ceases. It never runs out. It says He will reign on the throne of David and over His kingdom to establish and sustain it with justice and righteousness from now on and what? Forever. Forever, ever, forever, ever. Forever. It's peace that never ends. And the zeal of the Lord of armies will accomplish this. I love this. Because the burden of proof is not on us, it's on God to do it. He just calls us to present ourselves to Him. Notice the permanence of God's peace seen through the arrival of Jesus. The peace doesn't run out. It doesn't stop. It's endless. And multiple times here, the expression is that God's peace won't end. This is a peace that we can experience now and also for all eternity. In other words, let me say it like this. God's peace does not have an expiration date. It is not best used before this. No. It is a peace that never expires. It is a peace that never runs out. It is a peace that does not have a shelf life. It is a peace that is eternal. Why is it eternal, Pastor? Because of the One who's given it. And because He is eternal, anything that He gives has to be eternal. In other words, no matter the situation I find myself in, his peace is enough. Here's what Paul says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 16. May the Lord of peace himself, watch this, give you peace always in every way. May he give you peace always. Somebody say always. Always in every single way. What are you dealing with right now? His peace is able to sustain you always in every single way. He will always give you peace if you submit to him. He will always keep you in peace if you submit to him. He will always keep you in a state of wholeness when we submit to him. So in other words, when the peace of this world runs out, the peace of God is still flowing. And some of you have been running on fumes over these past few months, maybe even these past few years. You haven't been able to sleep. You haven't been able to experience rest, all because you have taken hold of the peace of this world, which is fleeting in nature. Because the world says, you know what? You'll have peace if you have the new whip. You have peace if you have the new boo. You have peace if you have the new job. But then you got it, and you got all the problems that came with it too. But God says, no. Jesus says it like this in John 14. I don't give peace to you as the world gives peace. The peace that I give is different. It lasts. It sustains. It carries. It holds up. It builds. It takes you here, there, everywhere. It goes from glory to glory to glory. In other words, it does not diminish. It only continues to grow. And I don't know about you. I don't want the peace of this world. I want the peace of God ruling in my heart. Some of you who are parents, you've been worried about so much about your kids and how they're going to turn out. And God says, hey, I want you to know something. I love your kids more than you do. Submit them to me. Get some peace. Some of you are worried about this job and how this is going to happen and how this is going to work out. He says, hey, I care more about you than you care about yourself. Let me handle it and have some peace. Some of you are worried about a medical condition and a diagnosis that you got this week. And for some of you, you haven't even told anybody. You are literally staring death in the face right now. When they told you that you got months to live and weeks to live, and the enemy is coming in and telling you, see, God doesn't love you. He's not for you. He's actually against you. But God is saying, I'm right here with you. I have not left you. I'm not going anywhere. Allow my peace to sustain you through this. God's peace. It's powerful, but it's persistent. It doesn't have an ebb and flow to it. It carries you through. And when we look at what this world is going through right now, when we look at what our world in our own lives, what we're experiencing, but then when we look at what this world at large is experiencing, this world is in need of peace. But this is why God sent his son, Wonderful Counselor, Everlasting Father, Mighty God, Prince of Peace. He says, I'm not going to give you what you want. I'm going to give you what you need. What you need is peace. That's what you need. It's not provision. It's not this. It's not these things of this world. What you need is something eternal. You need peace. You need something that's going to ground you. You need something that's going to anchor you. And what we need right now with everything that we're experiencing and seeing is God's peace. And what this Christmas season is all about, family, in person, online, it's all about how God sent his peace and offers his peace through his son, Jesus. That was fulfilled through his life, his death, his burial, his resurrection. This Advent season, I love it. It's my favorite time of the year. I love the decorations. I love all the stuff that we got up here. I love this little winter wonderland tree right here and these gifts right here. I love the wreaths on the door. And some of you guys may kind of like, oh, that's not really. No. Because when I see this, I'm always trying to see Jesus in things, right? So when I see that wreath over here, some of y'all online, you probably can't see this unless they move the camera, of course. But for those of us who are here, when you look at that wreath, what I see is a picture of eternity and the love of God and how it never ends. When I see these lights right here, all up on stage and all this, what I see is how Jesus, the light of the world, steps into our darkness. So when I see these different symbols, when I see the Christmas tree and I see things hanging on the tree, while some may try to say, oh, this is a pagan thing. No. I actually look at it as something that's greater, because I look at how these ornaments are hanging on a tree, but it points to the greater reality of how Jesus, my Lord, my Savior, hung on a tree to show me life, to show me love, to show me grace. I love this season. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14 says it like this: for he is our peace. Who is he? Jesus. He is our peace, who made both groups one and tore down the dividing wall of hostility. Who was he talking about? He's talking about Jews and Gentiles. In other words, there was racial tension. He was talking about humanity being broken and divided up against race and against ethnicity, against economic, against this and against that. Doesn't that sound awfully familiar to today? How people are divided because of color, how people are divided because of this, churches are segregated, all these types of things. But Jesus says, I came down from heaven to tear down the dividing wall of hostility, to bring peace between God and man, and to bring peace between humanity itself. Yes. That's what it's about. And Paul continues this train of thought. He says, in his flesh, he made of no effect the law consisting of commands and expressed in regulations, so that he might create in himself one new man from the two. Who is the one new man? The church, the family of God, resulting in what? Peace. He did this so that he might reconcile both to God in one body through the cross, by which he put the hostility to death. He came and proclaimed the good news of what? Peace to you who are far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have access in one spirit to the Father. In other words, Jesus doesn't just bring peace, he is peace. And I don't know about y'all, I get excited when I think about that, because it lets me know that if I got Jesus in my heart, and if I got Jesus being the captain of my life, I'm good. I might not have everything that the world says I need to have. I might not have this. I might not have that. But if I got Jesus in my life, I got peace. I'm good. I'm satisfied. I'm fulfilled. Because he is the Prince of Peace. And do you know what he calls his church now to be? Who receive his peace, he calls us to be peacemakers. And in Matthew chapter 5, this Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says around verse 3, verse 4, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons or daughters of God. So what does Jesus call us to be as the church to the world? A peacemaker. Not a peacekeeper. Those are two different things. Peacekeeper says we gloss over all the things that happen just for the sake of being together. Peacemaker says we acknowledge what's happened, but we also acknowledge that Jesus is enough to cover what happened. In other words, we're trying to bridge gaps, which is a great name for a church, by the way. Because what Jesus came to do was to bridge the gap between God and humanity itself. Which is why on the cross, there's two beams. You have a vertical beam, which is symbolic of us being connected to God now through Christ. But then you have a horizontal beam, which is symbolic of Jesus now connecting people of every nation, every tribe, every background, every color, every gender, every age, every generation, making them one family called the church. And he calls now his church to be peacemakers. I like what German theologian, he was a theologian during the time of Hitler, his name is Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He says it like this: the followers of Jesus have been called to peace. When he called them, they found their peace, for he is their peace. But now they are told that they must not only have peace, but make it. And to that end, they renounce all violence and tumult in the cause of Christ. Watch this. Nothing is to be gained by such methods. His kingdom is one of peace, and the mutual greeting of his flock is a greeting of peace. Watch this. His disciples keep the peace by choosing to endure suffering themselves rather than inflict it on others. Ooh, this one right here is really good, especially in a time where people say, leave the church. They maintain fellowship where others would break it off. They renounce all self-assertion and quietly suffer in the face of hatred and wrong. And in so doing, watch this, they overcome evil with good and establish the peace of God in the midst of a world of war and hate. Which means this Christmas, God wants you and I to experience his peace, but he also wants us to express his peace. That being a people of peace means I possess it, but I also pass it. I possess it, and I pass it. Don't go to the weed example of puff, puff, pass. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about that type of passing. No. Peace, pass. Peace, pass. Peace, pass. We are to be a people who bring peace to situations, which means your job environment should change because you're there, which means your family should look different because you're present, which means your neighborhood should be different because you're present, because what you bring with you is not just peace, you bring the Prince of Peace with you. So this gift of peace that God has given, he wants us to possess it. He says, if you're going through darkness right now, that's good news. I got peace for you. I want you to possess it, and I want you to pass it. I want to invite us all to stand to our feet in this moment, because I believe that some of us right now, here in this room, watching online, you're in a place right now of darkness. You're in a place of difficulty. But I believe in faith that God has spoken something to you in this moment, that he wants you to possess, which is his peace. He says, I have this gift of peace for you. All you gotta do is possess it. Take it. It's yours. It's available. Just ask for it. Receive it. It's literally that simple. God, I want your peace. I don't want to walk around stressed anymore. I don't want to walk around anxious anymore, because there's so much that you can be stressed about. There's so much you can be anxious about. I'm not disowning that. That is a reality. But God gives us a better option as to how to deal with it. He gives us his peace. And I believe that some of you are here, and this is the word that you needed in this season. You needed to hear that God is the Prince of Peace, and he wants to give you his peace. I believe that some of you are watching online, and it took so much for you to log on and to watch and to click the app, and it's like, man, I'm going through so much. But this word, I believe God spoke to you, is to give you peace. So in this moment, I want to do two things. I want to pray, one for those of us who are going through hard moments right now and we need to walk in peace, but then two, for some of you who are here, you've never received the Prince of Peace, you've never believed in Jesus. I want you to understand, you can't have his peace without having him first. So when you get him, you get his peace. So just with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you could do me a favor, if you could be honest in this moment, just be honest, would you search your heart and ask, man, where am I distressed right now? What am I worried about? What am I anxious about right now? What am I wrestling with right now? What's keeping me up at night? What's leading to headaches? What's leading to heart palpitations? I get shortness of breath when I start thinking about this. I want you to understand, God doesn't want you to live like that. He wants you to live in peace. And he offers that to you today. So if this is you, this is the first prayer. If you want to be included in this prayer of walking in his peace, maybe you already know Jesus, you have a relationship with him, but you need to come back to him, you need to walk in his peace. If this is you and you're saying, Pastor, I need this prayer right here, if you want to be included in this prayer, would you just lift up your hand really quick? Just be honest. Just be honest, is this you? Amen. So Father, in Jesus' name, I pray, God, for those brothers and sisters online in person who are carrying the weight of the world on their shoulders in so many ways. But I pray, God, that today that they would know that they no longer have to do that, because you sent your son to do that for them. That Jesus, through his death on the cross, through his perfect life, through his resurrection, carried the weight for us. And I pray, God, that you would give my brothers and sisters peace in this moment. And not just for this moment, but we know in faith, God, as your word says, that it's perpetual. It doesn't end. It endures. So God, would you grant them peace? Would you give them clarity of mind? Would you give them peace of mind? In Jesus' name. Here's the second prayer. If you're here today and you're saying, Pastor Edwin, I don't know Jesus. I have not believed in him as my Lord and Savior. I have not received his forgiveness for my sins. Here's the thing that Jesus came to ultimately do. The most important thing that Jesus came to do was to make peace between you and God. Because of our sin, we were eternally separated from him. Destined to hell, destined to darkness forever. Not because of God, but because of our sinfulness. But God loved us so much that he wrapped up his son in flesh and he sent his son from heaven to earth to bring peace between himself and us by Jesus dying on the cross. And the Bible says that when we trust in Jesus, all of our sins are forgiven, past, present, and future, and that you immediately become a new creature. You're a You're not who you used to be, but now you're a new creature in him. If this is you today and you're saying, Pastor Edwin, I want to receive Jesus as my Lord. I want all my sins to be forgiven, past, present, and future. For some of you, you already know Christ, but you need to come back to Christ today. If you want to be included in this prayer while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, would you shoot your hand up on the count of three? 1, 2, 3. If you're saying today, I want to give my life to Christ today, just shoot your hand up. Raise your hand. Amen. Raise your hand up if that's you. If you raise your hand online, if you're here in person, maybe you didn't, I still want you to know that this is for you. Would you say these words after me? Say, Jesus, I give you my life. I believe that you died for my sins. I believe that you raised back to life to give me new life. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for loving me. I receive your love. I receive your life. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. In your name I pray. Amen. Come on, church family, can we put our hands together for those who say yes to Christ today? Come on. Come on, let's make some noise. The Bible says all of heaven rejoices when one person comes to the family of God. Amen. Amen. So, hey, I want you to do this. If you are here today, if you're watching online, if you pray to receive Christ today, maybe you're coming back to him. Maybe you're saying, like, today is the day of my new beginning. If you're here in this place, I want you to grab the connection card in the seat pocket in front of you. Fill it out. Check the box that says, I'm committing my life to Christ today. Drop that in the drop box on your way out so that way we can follow up with you about some next steps. But then also, if you're watching online and you're saying, hey, I just made a decision to give my life to Christ, man, we're so excited for you. Church family, can y'all make some noise for all of our online who say yes to Christ? So if you say yes to Jesus online, we want you to text I decided to 94,000 so that way we can follow up with you as well. I don't know about y'all, but I know the Prince of Peace, and I know that he's going to give me peace no matter what it is that I'm up against, no matter what it is I face. Amen, somebody? Amen. So just as we prepare to go, man, once again, this is the season where we reflect on the gifts that God has given us, but we also respond by giving back to God. And as we said earlier, next Sunday is our legacy offering where we're gonna come bring our best and biggest gift that we can give above and beyond. And next Sunday is not gonna be the only Sunday you can give for legacy offering, but for these next few weeks, starting next Sunday, just give and give abundantly, give graciously. This is a time as well where we can honor God just with our regular tithes and offerings. You can do that online. You can do that using the envelope in the seat pocket in front of you. Pastor Brian will come up in a moment and talk more about that. But the thing that I want all of us to know is that it's always more blessed to give to receive than it is to receive. And because we've received the greatest gift in the form of Jesus, the Prince of Peace, man, we want to give him everything. We want to give him what's in our hand. We want to give him what's in our life. We want to give him our heart. Amen, somebody? Anybody grateful for the gift of Jesus this season? Come on. Anybody grateful to receive Christ?